It's the True Penny Show at the G1 for Wrestle Talk TV.
Hello and welcome to the True Penny Show. My name is James True Penny. This is my show, and today we begin the coverage of the G1 Climax Tournament with our preview show with my guests, Mr. Alexander Watt of the BBC. Hello, sir.
Hello, G1.
And Mr. Alex Edwards of No Fixed Wrestling Abode. How are you, sir?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not going to sing that. I'm going to say it because I'm not going to sing on a podcast.
It is, as Mr. Alex Watts said himself last year, Wrestling Christmas.
It is. It really is.
We're all really excited.
But every day for like, what, 19 nights?
Yes.
Is that how many we've got?
17 days in the tournament, semi-finals and finals. 19 nights of wrestling in a row. Beautiful. Well, not quite in a row. It is a thing of beauty. And we hope to bring you the best G1 Climax coverage we possibly can, because it's not just going to be me, Alex, and Alex. Chelsea will be with us. Marcus will be with us. Simon will be with us. But not only the usual crew that come and do the True Penny Show, we've also got special guests. If you've listened to the trailer, and believe it or not, after 8 hours, 600 people had listened to the trailer for this show. So I am absolutely stoked about that, because people are getting excited about the G1. We also have very
More people should listen to that trailer as well. It was a very lovely piece of work from James. Thank you, anyone who's not heard it yet.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We also have special guests, which are going to be Emily and Dan Reed, who you've heard on the show before. They're coming to join us because they love Puro Wrestling just as much as we do. And also Mr. Ben Spindler and Gavin Duenas of The Squash will be joining us periodically from time to time to do some reviews and have a look at Japanese wrestling. And really interesting to see what Gavin and Ben say about that, because they have different opinions to wrestling than us. And it'd be nice to get some different voices. And we will have also the usual stuff we do during G1 Climax stuff. Well, I say usual, we've only done it once before. But it's going to be every tournament match we're going to cover, one way or another.
All 12,608 of them.
Days we'll be at it, days. The amount of coffee we're going to have to drink in the next month is going to be amazing. But we're all very happy. We're all slightly wired and tired at the moment. I've just judged Best Kept Gardens in Brig after a night of playing Manchester last night on a gig. So I had 4 hours sleep. I've had a long day. And I'm really looking forward to doing this podcast. So I apologize
rock
if I'm overexcited. Yeah. Very rock and roll. Right then, let us move on. Block A this year features 10 wrestlers to get the 9 matches that you need for each wrestler. The rules, by the way, are very simple. 2 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, 0 points for a loss. Countouts and disqualifications, as usual in New Japan, count the same as pinfalls and submissions. So they're very straightforward, really. 9 matches, getting as many points as you can in each match to get forward to the semi-finals and the final. So, first of all, in Block A, we're going, as the Wikipedia page tells us, Bad Luck Fale will be the first person in Block A. Bad Luck Fale's had a good year. He's had some very, very good matches. He's had some good competition. Had an excellent match with Kazuchika Okada earlier in the year. Alex Edwards, what do you think of Bad Luck Fale's chances?
Fale's one of those guys where I don't think he's going to win it, but he's going to do very well, because that's what he always does. He'll be that guy who... he'll get the sort of spoiler wins over the bigger names like Tanahashi, and I'm trying to see who else in his block, Ibushi, those sorts of people. The sort of big names who you're thinking could go on to the finals, he'll be the guy that beats them, and credibly beats them, to sort of sort out the maths of everything. So when someone needs a loss and you need someone to beat them, Fale's going to be that guy. But I don't think he's going to get enough of those wins to actually get through to the finals himself and actually win it. I think he'll probably end up somewhere around 10-ish, 12-ish points, something like that. So he'll be sort of near the top of his block, but I don't think he'll go through and win.
Mr. Watt, what do you feel about Mr. Bad Luck Fale's chances?
Exactly that was pretty much all what I was going to say, was that is kind of his role, almost like the gatekeeper role. And yeah, he'll take a win off someone like a Naito or an Ibushi. Maybe not Tanahashi. I think he did. He beat Tanahashi last year. No, he beat or did he beat Okada last year?
He beat Okada last year to get the title shot, and that's also my thinking with Tanahashi this year. Tanahashi being the IC champion, maybe Farley gets a pin on him and gets a IC title shot at Destruction or something like that later this year.
And he's also Farley is also a former Intercontinental champion who never really got another shot back.
So yeah, that is a very good show. He could be one of the guys to take a win off Tanahashi. But yeah, I think exactly that. He'll be finish about fourth, maybe, in the block. About 10, 12 points sounds about right. I suppose the thing with Farley, it's more, can he up his level in terms of match quality? Because we said how good his match with Okada was. He tends to have great matches with Tanahashi, so he's going to work with like Naito and Ibushi and Ishii, so it's potential for him to do some good stuff sort of match quality wise this tournament. So I think that's more the thing to see how he does for that.
I'm interested to see what he does with Zack Sabre Jr. That's a really weird match that I can't think of.
You mean is you're interested to see if Zack Sabre Jr. can tie Bad Luck Farley up.
Yes. Anyway.
If he can get an octopus hold on him, then.
Okay, then. The next person in Group A is another man in resurgence, Hiroki Goto, last year's losing semi-finalist. I think he's going to do pretty well again this year. The thing is with this group, there's loads of people in this group you think are going to do very well. So it'll be interesting to see where he falls, because he's the guy that always missed out on the big one, but he got the big one this year. So he's told his story, and we're moving on with that. So let's see where he goes this year. But I would think probably in a similar position, fourth or fifth, maybe gets to second place to certify his place on the card, but I'm not sure. What do you think, Mr. Watt?
Yeah, I mean, in one sense, I wouldn't expect him to go on and win it. But you've got that story. He was the runner-up last year. He's always the nearly man. I don't think the story really is done with him winning the big one. I don't see winning the NEVER title as winning the big one and completing that story. So I think there's always room to keep telling that if they wanted to. So that story is there if they want to do it. I just think there's better options this year to be in the final and to win the whole thing. You know, he's in a block with Naito and Ibushi and Tanahashi as well, who's going to be one of the favourites. But
I said Ishii,
but Ishii isn't going to win as much as we want him to, but we'll come on to Ishii. Yeah. He'll probably knock out a few 5 stars. But anyway, we'll speak about Ishii in a second. But yeah,
sorry,
Goto.
Sorry.
I think Goto will probably finish like around similar sort of points as Farley, 10, 12 points in that third, fourth spot. But yeah, he's definitely an outside shot of getting to the final, because they've got that ready-made story of him being the runner-up last year.
Okay, then. Mr. Edwards, what do you think?
Yeah, Goto's one of those guys where he's sort of a middle-of-the-road guy, where he's pretty... He has good matches, but in terms of sort of success, he's pretty unassuming. But then he'll always be that guy who somehow, like last year, he managed to sort of luck his way into the finals based on a time limit draw or something like that. So I think it'll be something similar, where I don't think he's getting to the finals, but I think he'll be around the top of the block, and he'll be one of those guys where it's like, well, maybe if this guy beats this guy who beats this guy, he'll somehow have a chance. But I don't see him going to the finals again for a second year. It's like Alex said, there's a lot of people in this block. It's a very stacked block for sort of big names that actually are possible winners. And when you look ahead to sort of the Tokyo Dome, you don't see Hiroki Goto as that sort of Tokyo Dome headliner. Although, I guess that would be the sort of the perfect end for this story they're telling, but I don't know if this year's the year to do it.
Well, I mean, he is a former G1 Climax winner. He won it in 2008. So, you know, he's always going to be there or thereabouts. So we shall see. Okay, then, next person in this group is the returning Kota Ibushi. 2 years ago, it was really where the G1 Climax was really where the wheels fell off of his New Japan career. And after that, he needed a rest, and he took a break, and he went to WWE for the Cruiserweight Classic, and he did various other things. Went missing for a while in New Japan cards, really. We didn't see him at all.
Where's he been?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where the hell has he been?
XWA. He had some matches in XWA where he set fire to himself with fireworks. So he did that, and then he's come back for this year's G1 Climax. So there is a lot of interesting stories you can tell with Kota Ibushi. Not only that, there is, of course, the stories with Kenny Omega we can tell, but they're not in the same block, which was telling when they booked this. So, Alex Edwards, what do you think of Kota Ibushi's chances, and what do you think he's going to do in the tournament?
Ibushi is the guy who I want to get to the finals, but I don't know if he will. I think it's like you said, he's been away for so long that New Japan likes to sort of, I guess, make people lose on their returns, to put it bluntly. And so I don't know if they're going to want to tell that story of, oh, well, in our world, he hasn't wrestled for 2 years or whatever, and so he's a bit rusty and he's showing some signs of not quite being properly back into things, and so he's going to take quite a few losses because of that. But I think the sort of the way I do it, and this is me just being a big Ibushi fan, is I'd have him get to the finals, and I don't think I'd have him win the finals, but I think I'd have him be at least semi-finals or finals and sort of get the loss there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he'll end up near the top of the block, but I don't know if New Japan would actually want to sort of push him that hard and put him through, just because of it, the fact that it is sort of his first major, or it is literally his first thing since his return. So I don't know if they're going to want to put that much sort of stock into him right away.
Okay. Alex Watt, what did you think?
Yes, well, it's good to have him back. First of all, I think it's going to make for some tremendous matches. I think, obviously, like you've touched on, the big sort of fantasy booking thing people are doing is an Ibushi Omega final, which is definitely there's a big chance that that's what they go with. I don't think they will, but I think quite a lot of people will be picking that as the final. I think they might hold that off till Wrestle Kingdom, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, do you think that's more of a Wrestle Kingdom match than a something you throw away for the G1?
Well, exactly. I think, I mean, I'm probably ahead of myself here, but with them giving Omega Okada 3 away in this tournament, I think that says that isn't going to main event Wrestle Kingdom now. I think they've got other ideas, which then opens up the chance for them to do Omega Ibushi there. If you see my fantasy booking,
I see where you're coming
theory
from. Yeah.
There. Yeah. But yeah, I think they'll definitely in this, even if it doesn't happen, they're going to tease it. They're going to, for me, Ibushi's one of the favorites to win, obviously. And I think they're going to have him be in contention come the final night. I think he wrestles Tetsuya Naito on his first night. Well, in fact, in the very first night of the tournament, doesn't he? And I think he'll probably beat Naito because they like to do that stuff anyway, where Naito's potentially the favourite, which we'll talk about in a minute. So they usually have the favourite lose in the first match. That's classic New Japan G1. So, and that would get him over, you know, again, immediately. It completely makes sense. So, yeah, I think in the end, Ibushi will probably come second in the block after pushing it the whole way. So they'll tease that it's going to be an Ibushi Omega final, but not pull the trigger on it just yet. But again, like in terms of matches to look forward to, there is a heck of a lot with Ibushi involved. There's going to be some good stuff.
Well, I'm just looking at the matches on the first night, and that first night's loaded. Goto versus Ishii.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Goto versus Ishii. Makabe versus Firelay, a rematch from Wrestle Kingdom 8. Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr., which is going to be electric. And Naito versus Ibushi, that's the main event. So that's going to be something really, really interesting. Tomohiro Ishii, the Stone Pit Bull of Chaos. Well, you guys were earlier saying he's not going to win it, which is true, but he is going to have some five-star classics, certainly with Zack Sabre Jr., because I want to see that again, definitely. Tanahashi is going to be a five-star, I would think, if Hiroshi is fully fit and ready to rock. Ishii versus Ibushi is going to be off the page. And I also think that Nagata versus Ishii is something I'd really like to see, because we very rarely see it. these days, because Chaos and the regular army very rarely match up anymore, because they're both kind of faces and they both kind of respect each other and they leave each other out of each other's business. So yeah, Ishii could do some really serious damage in this tournament as far as good work, as far as five-star matches is concerned. And, you know, he's on a bit of a song at the minute after that final with Kenny Omega. I just love the guy. Can't say enough again about him. And as we know, Ben Spindler's favourite wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, Mr. Alex Watt.
We do know that, yeah.
Very much so. Alex Watt, what do you think of Tomohiro Ishii's chances?
Yes, very much what you said there. Like, it would be nice if he if he actually got to the final one year. Like, he's always the MVP of these things. Like, he will have a lot of five-star matches in this tournament, because he always does. But he sort of fulfills that gatekeeper role as well. Like, he'll take wins off some of the big favourites, I think. And that's, sadly, that is his role, to be like, A, the gatekeeper who does that, and B, the guy who has ridiculously good matches but never quite wins the thing. So, yeah. But the main thing is he's going to have some ridiculous matches, like you said. And then probably finish about mid-table in the group, I think.
Alex Edwards, what do you think?
I mean, you already went over some of the matches we're going to see with him. It's like Nagata, Makabe, Tanahashi, Goto. They're all fantastic matches that I can't wait for.
But Naito as well.
Naito as well, yeah. But like Alex just said, I think while those are going to be fantastic matches, I don't know how many of those he's actually going to win, which is a bit unfortunate, but that's the way it is with Tomohiro Ishii. He's another one that I could see, like Alex just said, playing the sort of spoiler role, like we talked about Fale. And I wonder if maybe he's another guy who gets a win over someone like Tanahashi, and maybe it's a title shot, because he's still owed an IWGP heavyweight title shot from Okada from last G1. I'm still not forgetting that he got that win over Okada by a title shot. So I don't know, maybe this year he gets one over Tanahashi and, I don't know, again, never gets a shot. I don't know, but we'll see. But match-wise, it's going to be just, he's going to be one of the absolute stars to watch throughout the whole tournament.
We should mention that as well, of course, because under normal New Japan booking law, there are forbidden matches. Now, Chaos guys do not go against Chaos guys, and Bullet Club guys do not go against Bullet Club guys, and Suzuki-gun guys don't go against Suzuki-gun guys.
Unless it's in a tournament like this.
Yes, exactly, and unless it's in a tournament like this, in which case all booking rules go out the window, and everybody has to face everybody. And usually, there were some shenanigans in LIJ in their LIJ matches last year, but generally speaking, everyone plays it straight down the middle, and it's just a wrestling match. So there's always some interesting things that go on in those matches as well, especially when you've got stablemates in matches together. And Ishii versus Goto should be really interesting to see. They had about cracking match last year, though, didn't they, in the G1? So we shall see what happens there. Okay, then. Next, we have Togi Makabe. Now, the Unchained Gorilla has done, well, naff all, really, in the last 12 months since the last G1 tournament. He's been floating around. Well, I say naff all, but he has won an IWGP Tag Team Championship with Honma there back at Wrestle Kingdom, around Wrestle Kingdom, and they won the tag league. But he's not done an awful lot in singles competition in the last 12 months. I'd say he has two or three good matches, and again, is a mid-table guy, but I don't see him doing an awful lot in this tournament, unless they want to tell a very different story with Makabe. But we shall see. A guy who is capable of great matches still, but not lately. So, Mr. Alex Edwards, what do you think of Makabe's chances?
See, Makabe's that guy where last year I complained a lot about Makabe, and I just didn't see the point of him being there. And then he went away, like you said, and he's just not been around for the last year, basically. Now he's back, and again, I think he'll have some more matches. But personally, I wouldn't see him winning much, but I know that for whatever reason, New Japan likes to give him a lot of wins because he has been sort of a big star in the past, and he is still sort of a bit of a celebrity in Japan.
Yeah.
And so because of that, he'll get that sort of push where he'll get a few big wins, but I don't know who over out of this block, because it's all about working out the maths, I guess, and who can afford to take a loss to Makabe and actually still make it through to the finals or where they're meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, look at last year. Makabe was leading the group up until the last week.
Exactly.
Crazy.
I don't want to see something like that again this year, but I wouldn't be too surprised if it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, he blew it in the last week and lost like 3 matches in a row. So that was the story they were telling. Like, he got confident and cocky and it didn't work out for him. So, and Goto went through from his group. So, yeah, I think it's possibly something like that could happen again. We'll see. Alex Watt, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll do that again this time, that same story. But yeah, I think it'll be the case where he'll pick up a few big wins, even if perhaps he possibly shouldn't. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if what sort of level he can go at, you know. He had some decent matches last year at the G1, but 12 months on, he hasn't done a lot. He's not taking a lot of bumps in matches now, and this schedule's obviously really grueling, and people demand big things from the matches. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep pace, I suppose. And yeah, I pretty much agree with Alex in terms of he'll pick up quite a few wins probably. But I think this year he's probably not going to lead the group. He'll be sort of lower mid table, I think, if they've got any sense anyway. I just think there's better stories they can tell this time round, with, you know, the so-called younger guys, the favourites really.
Okay. We'll move on then to Yuji Nagata, who is making his last G1 run. Now, Yuji Nagata is a legendary figure in New Japan Pro Wrestling, head of the New Japan Dojo. But I can't see an awful lot coming out of him at this particular stage. Though it'd be interesting, because the last two major tournaments they've had, Jushin Thunder Liger had his last Best of Super Juniors, which he had a run that was loss, and until eventually he beat Tai Chi in a very popular win on the last night of the tournament. And the year before was Hiroshi Tenzan, who proved that he couldn't quite cut it anymore, even though he was whipping out moonsaults left, right, and centre, which for a guy in his mid-40s and well above 300 pounds shouldn't really be doing. however, I can't see them pulling that story again. So I'm saying Nagata probably has 2 or 3 wins rather than the 0 wins we're possibly going to expect. I think he'll hang it together, put in a respectable performance, and call it a day with a noble run. That's my prediction on this one. Alex, what do you think of Nagata's chances?
Yes, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of story they try to tell. We spoke about the Liger thing, like you just touched on there. Did think people maybe expected a bit more, like with his last one, that he would put more of a run together. The Tenzan thing last year, from what I remember, is he started strong and then sort of ran out of steam. So they may do a similar thing with Nagata, where he wins quite a few of his early matches and then sort of age catches up with him kind of thing, and he can't quite keep up with the schedule. But I mean, if they wanted to do a sort of Chono type story, they could. I don't think he's ever won the G1, has he?
I will check, but keep talking.
I don't think he has, but we'll find out in a sec. But so yeah, I mean, if I am correct in saying that, then there's a very good story there that they could tell with it. Yes,
he did win the G1.
Oh, he did. Did he win it?
He won it in 2001, so it's 16 years since he won the G1.
Oh, well, it's still a significant story there. I'd sort of go with you with him picking up a few wins. I think he'll do that in the first few matches and then sort of tail off. So give people hope that he's gonna have a great run and then just age catches up with him, I would think.
Okay. Alex Edwards, what do you think of Blue Justice's chances in this tournament?
I mean, I'd love that scenario if he did just go on a mega run and he wins it in his last one. That would be amazing. But unfortunately, I don't see it happening either. I think I'm just looking down the matches he's got, and his first match is the first night he's got Yoshihashi. So I think he can pick up a win there. But yeah, then his next one is Goto, which I think Goto picks up the win. And then he's just like, he's against all the big stars, all the way through the tournament, because that's where they all are in Block A. So right up until the end, where he's got Bad Luck Fale. So I'm wondering if they do a sort of, he starts off with one win, and then it's just lose, right up until the end, where he finally regains it, and he gets one big win on the last day against Fale. All the dads come out, they're all happy, they're celebrating. And yeah, and he ends on like 4 points. Hit. I could see that happening, because looking at this block, there's so many names in it.
Yeah.
That someone needs to lose. I think Nagata is unfortunately going to have to be one of those guys that, like, he'll have good, really good matches, but they'll tell the story of, oh, well, all these other guys are that much younger and that much faster and that much sort of more in their prime. And so they get the best of him, and he won't be picking up that many wins, which is unfortunate. But, you know, he'll, unlike Tenzan last year, where Tenzan was sort of struggling to even walk to the ring most nights, Nagata is still in really good shape and can still put on really good matches. And so I think that's what he'll do. He'll just go out with a bang. And even though he won't win much, he'll have some fantastic matches throughout this tournament.
If you did want to go with a surprise winner in Nagata, there is this point. He doesn't have to have the Wrestle Kingdom shot, because he could lose the opportunity to somebody else later in the year before you get to Wrestle Kingdom.
That's very true. Or, yeah, maybe he does something like that, or maybe he announces a retirement after, like, he wins the G1 and then gives up his shot and says, I'm going to retire, and they go some other direction for Wrestle Kingdom. I didn't think of that at all. That's a good story there.
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. Yeah. It's a very remote possibility, because it's playing with an awful lot of money. But, you know, if one guy could realistically look like he could pull off a win, as he has done for the last 2 years, you know, you think about 2 years ago when he signed, when he moved to Noah for an extended run, wins the GHC Heavyweight Championship, and was given a standing ovation at Currican Hall when he lost the title for the effort he put in as GHC Heavyweight Champion. You know, and then last year he wins the Never Openweight Championship. He had that shot at Shinsuke Nakamura 2 years ago at New Beginnings. He's done some incredible things for a guy his age with the wear and tear that body has. You know, he is really, really good. And if one guy did deserve it, you know, it would be a nice send off if they could do that. But I understand that you can't have everything. So yeah. So then, moving on, we've got Tetsuya Naito, leader of Los Ingobernables de Japón. Likely favourite, likely possible winner, but this is a loaded group with lots of stories to tell. We can have all sorts of fun with this. But Tetsuya Naito has got very good chances of getting through to the semi-finals, at least, hasn't he, Mr. Watt?
Yes, he is my favourite to win the whole thing. I think he's a lot of people's favourite to win the whole thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they win the whole thing, as we know in the G1. So I think he's obviously, you've got all the things of, he lost the IC title to Tanahashi right before the tournament, which usually implies that there's a good chance that they're going to go on and win the G1. Like I said, with the Omega Okada 3 happening in Block B, which we'll talk about in a bit, does imply that they're maybe going to go in a different direction with the Wrestle Kingdom main event. And if they're going to do that, the other money match is Okada against Naito. So, yes, I'm sticking with him as my pick to win the whole thing. And yeah, as we've touched on, it's a stacked group, and that means there's going to be a lot of great matches, a lot of great guys he can have great matches with. And yeah, like I say, I think he'll lose on the first night to Ibushi just to throw the spanner in the works, but then he'll end up winning the whole thing.
Okay then, Mr. Edwards, your thoughts on El Tranquilo?
I actually agree. I think Naito is probably going to be the most likely person to win the whole thing. And like Alex said, I think there's a couple of signs there that he lost the title, and just the way he's been booked over this year that sort of suggest that he could get the big win here. And I think, again, exactly as Alex said, with Omega and Okada 3 happening here rather than saving it for Wrestle Kingdom, I think Naito and Okada is that big match that, although we saw it last year, I think it's still what they've been building to, and it's still the biggest match they could put on at the moment. And so I think he'll probably he'll probably win. I'm just really looking forward to a lot of the matches we're going to see here. So, like, Naito Tanahashi, like, this year they've had two fantastic matches. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there. Mm-hmm. Like we said, with Nagata, Ibushi, Ishii, there are some really good matches that could be had here. Actually, there's a you can have the rematch of last year's finals as well, Naito and Goto. Not, I'm completely getting that wrong, aren't I? I'm thinking of Omega and Goto, so I don't know why
Omega
I said that.
And Goto and Omega and Goto.
For some reason, I had in my mind that Naito won the G1 last year, and I was like, actually, no, that did not happen.
No, it was Naito and Kenny in the semi-final, and it was Goto and...
That's it, yeah.
Goto and Makabe, wasn't it? Was it?
Goto and Omega.
Goto and Omega. And then...
Was the final.
The semi-finals we're talking about. It was Kenny and Naito was the semi-final. Because
yeah,
that was better than the final. And then the other one was I'm pretty sure it was Makabe and Goto. Was it? No, Marufuji and Goto.
Yes, it was Marufuji.
Yeah.
Oh, how I wish Marufuji was in this tournament. That would be great. anyway, after that massive error that we're probably going to get comments for and everything... Yeah, I think Naito, as I said, is the most likely winner of the whole thing. It'll be interesting to see how they play it, though, whether they have him go on a massive run and just be the far and away winner of the block, or whether they do the story where he sort of wins one, loses one. And it's sort of he's always in contention with someone else or a couple of other people, like, say, him, Tanahashi and Ibushi are all right there at the top, always equaling out each other's points and... sort of all three of them rise up the block and you tell that story of, oh, well, we're not quite sure who's going to do it. This guy's got to win over this guy, so maybe he'll get it. And you play it really close like that. I think with a block like this, how many big names are in this block, I think that could be an interesting story to do, where you leave it right up until that very last day as to who actually goes through to the finals.
Okay.
Well, that's how they tend to book these things. I agree. I think those are the three that are going to be vying for the win in the block. And last night it's Naito against Tanahashi as the main event. So you would expect that they'll do the thing with who, you know, have it all even going into that, and then the winner of that gets into the final. Also, we, you know, Naito's won the G1 before a few years back, but
yeah,
that's basically the catalyst for what the character he is now. So you've got that story in the background as well, because he won, he was going to be the next big thing, but his babyface thing didn't work, so he ended up losing at Wrestle Kingdom, didn't even get the main event, etc., etc. So yeah, there's a lot of backstory that I think plays into him winning the whole thing.
It sounds like exactly what we were saying this time last year.
Yeah, this is the thing though, like, you can't always be sure, because it's like they'll just throw a curveball in there when we think we've got it figured out, and then they'll just completely throw us off the scent.
Yeah, that is the thing. That's what makes New Japan so great. I'm saying also, if Naito does win the tournament, he just walks straight over to the ring post and smashes the suitcase, the briefcase, and then just walks off.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Okay, then, next we have Britain's own Zack Sabre Jr., the Jeremy Corbyn endorsed wrestler. And quite frankly, if Zack Sabre Jr. wins the G1 Climax tournament, Theresa May should just resign. And Zack Sabre Jr.
He's doing it for Corbyn. Imagine.
He's doing it for the course. Zack Sabre Jr. Now, this is interesting, because he got to the semi-finals of the US title tournament. He's been on a good run. He's had some surprising wins, because I don't think anyone saw him beating Goto the first time out. So that was... Whoa! So, yeah, Zack Sabre Jr. is one of those guys who's kind of in between. He's clearly jumped up to second in Commander Suzuki Gun, because there's not an awful lot of competition there, to be honest with you, at the minute, since Shelton Benjamin left. And so, therefore, Zack Sabre Jr., I think he'll go far. I don't think he's going to win the group, but I think he's going to be top end. And he's going to have some surprising wins over some competition. I'm intrigued to see him versus Makabe, because I have no idea what's going to happen with that. I think they just stare at each other for 20 minutes. I'm a bit stumped as to give him a placing off the point score. I think he's going to do well, though. Alex Edwards, your thoughts on the Master of the Armbar?
Pretty much the same. I think it's interesting that he's the only Suzuki Gun representative in this block, and so I think they'll probably want to have him at least in the top half of things as far as final points go because of that. Like you said, though, I don't think he's winning, but I think he'll end up sort of on the positive end of things. Yeah, it's just some really weird matches in here. An interesting one, actually, is Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, which, if you go back to last summer in WWE's Cruiserweight Classic, that's sort of the big match that everyone wanted to see there. WWE tried to sign both these guys to put on that match, and now New Japan's got it in this G1. So that'll be fantastic. Yeah, there's just a lot of interesting other ones in there. So you've got Ishii, you've got Goto, you've got Nagata, Tanahashi, Naito. Like, I think he's going to have a very good tournament sort of performance-wise. And then results-wise, probably, I don't know, around the middle, but maybe sort of fourth or fifth place, I think.
Okay.
Again, it's one of those things where someone has to lose. And I think he'll be one of those people where he'll get a few wins, but at the end of the day, he's going to also be one of those guys where, because he's not a definite winner, he'll be sort of a guy they won't mind having people go over to equal things out mathematically.
Okay, Tilda Alex, what do you reckon of Zack Sabre Jr.'s chances?
Yes, I think that's probably his role. I mean, it's awesome, first of all, that he's in the tournament. that's going to be really good, like you say, with some of the matchups and some really interesting stylistic clashes. I'm surprised they haven't saved him against Ibushi for the last night of the block, actually. I think it's happened somewhere around the middle of the run. Because that was... As Alex said, that was what everyone thought the Cruiserweight Classic final was going to be and probably was meant to be, but neither of them wanted to sign. That's just such a funny snub, basically, that New Japan get to put it on. So I think he'll be sort of there or thereabouts in the block in points-wise and probably end up, like you guys both said, with sort of upper half, with him being the Suzuki Gun guy. He's his first tournament. Guys tend to do well in their first G1 as well. I think we can expect some good matches. I think he'll have a good showing.
Just a point here, out of the 20 wrestlers in this tournament, at least 4 of them have worked for WWE and have left their developmental system at one stage or another.
Pretty crazy.
That's Zack Sabre Jr., Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Juice Robinson.
Yeah, and they're all doing better things now.
Much better than they were.
That's very interesting, yeah.
Just a point there. Okay, we'll move on then to Hiroshi Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi, the living legend of New Japan Pro Wrestling. The ace, if you will. Not so much anymore, but certainly a very important player and a likely winner of this group, taking out guys like Naito. So, last year was denied the semi-final place by his tie with Okada, so possibly looking to get himself back in the picture again, but also Intercontinental Champion, and as Alex said earlier, that usually tends to mean that you won't have so much of an effect on the tournament. Shinsuke Nakamura, who was a finalist but never a winner for a long period of time. So we'll see what happens here. Mr. Edwards, your thoughts?
So it's always unfortunate that for the last at least 2 or 3 years running, Tanahashi has gone into the G1 with some sort of injury. But despite that, so he's got his bicep injury this year. Despite that, though, he always has some of the best matches of the whole thing. He's like a superhuman. He's like, I don't understand how he does it, but he just pulls out these sort of 5-star matches out of nowhere when he's injured. On a random day in some small town, in like 6 days into this tournament, I don't know, he just somehow manages it, and it's crazy, but it's amazing to see. And I'm hoping we get that again this year. Like you said, he is Intercontinental Champion at the moment, so I think the interesting thing here is who will beat him in this tournament to set up future title matches. So we said earlier about Fale maybe being one of those. I mean, who else do you think? Like, maybe Ibushi or maybe...
I think Zack Sabre Jr. Because, again, first night syndrome. I think they might do that with it being Zack Sabre Jr.'s first G1 and stuff like that. Just to make a statement, yeah.
And I think they did a similar thing last year where didn't Tanahashi start off by losing like his first three or four matches?
Yeah,
he
did.
Yeah.
And then he lost went up the big win streak. So maybe they do start him off with a loss to Zack Sabre Jr., set up a future match there, and then so the next one after that's Fale, which is another one that we said he could probably lose. Then you got Nagata, who I mean I don't know there, but that you're going through and there are quite a few matches towards the start of the tournament where he could feasibly lose. And that's where he picks up his losses and gets his wins later on. I don't think he'll get to the finals. I think he'll be, as we've been saying, second or third in the block, along with Naito and Ibushi, and it'll be those three that sort of battle it out for the win. I don't know.
Here's one thing.
I was just going to say I'm really looking forward to the matches he has and seeing what they end up doing with him.
Here's one thing. If you wanted a money long program for the IC title... he's losing to Ishii because they're 6 months right there.
Ooh. Yeah,
that would be lovely, yeah.
Because they've never wrestled each other.
That would be really good.
Not for long term. They've done it in tag matches back and forth, but they've never had a long term series together. Those two workhorses, he loses to Ishii in the tournament. Ishii takes the title off him at King of Pro Wrestling. They have the big blow off match at Wrestle Kingdom.
That would be fantastic. I hope that happens now.
Yeah, I want that to happen also, please.
Just a thought, just laying it out there.
I'm also thinking Ibushi is an interesting intercontinental champion in the future at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they need that match with Nakamura of the IC title at Wrestle Kingdom 9, which was an absolute barnstormer that made him the most independent, in-demand wrestler in Japan. So, yeah.
I guess what it really depends on is how long is he sticking around? Is he going to go away again, or is he here for the long term now?
That's the thing, isn't it? And he's the only guest in the tournament, really, though he is a New Japan wrestler, he's signed, but he's like the only outsider they've got in this year's tournament. So the only person we have not seen a lot of in recent months. Mr. Watt, your thoughts on the ace?
Yes, I pretty much would go along with that. I think he might well lose a couple early on. I really like the Ishii shout, although I'm wondering if they're going to have Ishii and Suzuki is what they're working towards. But I'm kind of hoping now that they do Ishii and Tanahashi because I like that idea a lot. But yeah, I think he might lose his first two. I think that makes sense, Zack Sabre Jr. and Farley, to beat him. And then he goes on a bit of a run and then it's him and Naito on the last night, which I think will... decide the block. I think that's how the points will fall. As we've said quite a few times now, I think it's probably Tanahashi, Naito, Ibushi are the three battling it out, and we'll end the run. So on the last night, have the same amount of points. And yeah, I think he'll lose to Naito on the last night, so Naito can go through. And yeah, he'll do what he always does, which is just have tremendous match after tremendous match, make everyone look bloody amazing, as he always does. Just generally be brilliant for another year, and everyone will be like, everyone's always like, is this the year he's going to retire? And then he like pulls out about 10 five-star classics and carries on.
He's 41.
He's 41 or something at the moment, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So, I don't know, I guess he's nearing that. But then you have Nagata, who's in his late 40s and still going and still on it, so...
Yeah, but it's like you said, it's the fact that he keeps going at that level. Like, he's got an injury, his age, and you just know he's going to have a bunch of classics in this tournament, because he always does.
Right then, we move on to the last person in Block A, which is Yoshihashi. Now, me and Alex Watt have been saying the Yoshihashi push is due for at least 3 years now. And it hasn't happened.
We're always like, this is the year.
This is it. He's going to get it this time. No.
he's not going to get it this time.
No.
We are
employing reverse psychology, because if we say he isn't going to get his big push this year, he's going to win the tournament, obviously. And both of us would like to see Yoshihashi win the tournament because he tries harder than anybody else on the New Japan roster. So, yeah, we're going to say he's not going to win the tournament this year and he's not going to get a big push. He will do some good matches. That's my thoughts, as he usually does, especially like towards the tail end of last year's G1. He was on fire and doing some amazing things. So Yoshihashi will do well. He's not going to win many points, though. That's my thoughts. What are your thoughts, Alex Watt?
Yes, pretty much that. You never know. This could be, like you say, sort of half jokingly, but knowing New Japan, that's the kind of thing they would do where everyone's like, it's not going to be his year. And then he ends up having like an amazing run through the tournament because no one's expecting it. So you never know. They might go that way, but I don't think they will. Again, it's sort of a case of him picking up a few big wins, like he's facing Naito on the second night of that block. And as we say, like, the favourites tend to lose a few early on, so there's definitely a chance for him to beat Naito. It's just going to be a case of him putting out good matches and putting together a good run. Putting together a decent run. Like, if he finishes sort of mid-table, that's a good tournament.
The trouble is, we've said for all 10 guys, we hope they finish mid-table.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the worry is that someone's going to be the whipping boy, and you look at that block, and you kind of like, oh, no. he's the one, really, isn't he?
He does stand out, yeah, like a sore thumb, because they can't have Farley lose to that much because he's too big. Yeah. Alex Edwards, what are your thoughts on Yoshihashi's chances this time round?
Pretty much what you guys have said. Like, he'll have some good matches, but he's not going to win any of them. Like, he maybe ends on sort of 2 points after a shock win somewhere, like a roll-up or something. But he, like you just said, he's the whipping boy. Like, he's here to lose. He's here for other people to get points, and that's it.
Okay, fair enough. Right, then we move on to Block B, which starts with Michael Big Mike Elgin. Likely to do well, likely to get high. Could be a spoiler, a bit like Bad Luck Farley in the other group. Big lad, and he has good matches, and he's Canadian. And I think he's going to do quite well. Alex Edwards, what do you think?
Yeah, he's a big Canadian man, and he'll probably do pretty good. so we were just talking about how the other block is so stacked and has all the massive names in it. And then you have this one where it's sort of a lot more of your sort of middle of the road, mid card guys. And then in there, you've also got your Elgins, your Okadas, your Omegas, your Suzukis. So
yeah,
it turns out this whole tournament is pretty stacked. but yeah, Elgin is a guy who I don't think he's going to win, but he will have some decent matches and he will probably, like Farley, come around sort of 10, 12 points. I probably be thought sort of third in his block, maybe fourth in the block. And yeah, he'll do well, but he's not going to win.
Okay. Mr. Watt, how do you think?
Yes, pretty much exactly that. The G1, of course, which made Elgin in Japan a couple of years ago. How he got over with the audience. So a lot of history there. But yeah, I think he sort of fulfills the Farley Ishii role of being the gatekeeper. He'll take big wins off a couple of guys. Like, if he gets a pin over someone like Okada, for instance, which could happen, get a massive win there, then he's got, you know, bragging rights and the potential for a title shot down the line.
I'm thinking that could happen with Suzuki, who's the NEVER champion, because I think that would be a good match, and that title sort of fits Elgin, I think.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's a very good shout, particularly if they'd go Tanahashi Ishii, like we're all hoping now, then Elgin Suzuki would be a nice thing to build to for Wrestle Kingdom. So yeah, I could see that as well. That's basically his role, is the Ishii role, to put on great matches in this block with loads of different people and sort of play the spoiler with a few of the bigger names potentially.
Okay, then we move on then to Evil. Again, he's one of these guys that he's going to have some cracking matches. I'm looking forward to him and Sonata because LIJ matches are always cool. I don't think he's going to win. I think he's going to do very well. Sets him up for next year, which is really what they're looking for. They're trying to build him steadily. He's kind of he's the secondary leader of LIJ, and he kind of is in that role. He's another guy that could go for the Nevin Openweight Championship or even the IC title and do quite well, but it's going to take him a while to hold that championship for a long period of time and make something of it. So, yeah, Evil's good. I think he's going to do well, but I don't think he's going to tear trees up, but he's going to have some great matches. Alex, what are your thoughts?
Evil is good. What a sentence.
The wrestler, not the emotion.
Not the thing. he won the Never title, did he not, for a day or whatever it was.
Yes,
ridiculously. I think it was like 4 days or something.
Yeah, he won it at King of Pro Wrestling last year and then lost it on the Rev Pro Tour 2 days later. No, he lost it in Thailand on a road and a house show 2 days later.
Singapore or something.
Singapore,
like that.
Yeah, that was it. Singapore house show, yeah.
Yeah, which was a shame at the time because we quite liked him being Never champion. So it'd be nice, like you say, to get some wins and build his way back up to that. You know, we said Elgin could beat Suzuki. There's a potential that Evil could beat Suzuki as well to set that up for either King of Pro Wrestling or Wrestle Kingdom or next year. Pretty much what you said, they'll use it to build him a little bit more. They're doing the slow build with him. He'll win a few, lose a few, end up somewhere in the middle, and hopefully have some good matches along the way. And hopefully not cheat too much.
Alex Edwards, your thoughts on Evil's chances?
Pretty much that. I think he'll end up around the middle. He's a guy where last year he got a win over Tanahashi at some point. He got a couple of big wins that sort of shocked people, and I think he'll do the same this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he did get a win over like Suzuki or Omega or even Okada, if he got a win there and then got a sort of random title shot sort of in the lead up to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't think he's going to win the whole thing. I think he'll put on some good matches, end up sort of around the middle.
Okay. Fair enough. We will move on then to Satoshi Kojima, the leader of Bread Club, and inspiration. The greatest faction in pro wrestling, and an inspiration behind a heated conversation that me and Chelsea had this morning over whether cake was bread or not. sorry?
And a peek behind the scenes there of the True Penny Show, of the important conversations we have in these groups.
What's the best thing to whiten your coffee with? Apparently almond milk or oat milk is the current conversation we're having.
Ooh.
We sometimes talk about wrestling as well, not very often.
It's mainly food products.
So Satoshi Kojima kind of gave his spot away to Hiroshi Tenzan last year to make sure Tenzan had a goodbye to the G1 Climax tournament. But Kojima's a different story. He's clearly got 2 or 3 years left in this tournament before he calls it a day, and he's still a draw, and he's still very popular, and he's still capable of pulling out some classics if he's got the right head on and he's got the right opponent. Watch those matches with Okada and Omega especially. They're going to be really, really good. He's probably going to be the whipping boy of this group, I have to say. He's not going to score an awful lot of points, and he's definitely not going to win. But yeah, Kojima's always going to do well. Alex Edwards, what do you think?
Yeah, same sort of thing. He's sort of like Nagata in the other group, whereas the older guy who can still put on really fantastic matches against the right people, but he always has that story of sort of his age can hold him back now, and other people can get the better of him because of that, and I think that's what's going to happen, same as with Nagata in the other group. So I think you'll see some really good matches, like you said, with Okada, Omega, Suzuki, those sorts of names. But he won't be winning too many of them. I could see him ended up maybe 2-4 points sort of near the end, near the bottom of the table, but still definitely someone to watch out for as far as match quality goes.
Okay then, Mr. Watt, what are your thoughts on Kojima?
I mean, not a whole lot more to add besides what you guys have said. Unfortunately he's in that position where he's probably going to take a lot of the losses, along with maybe a couple of other guys we'll come on to. But he'd probably end on about 4 points. Maybe again, like could pick up a win first night, last night, that kind of thing. The thing is, he doesn't have that Nagata story. No, you know, it's not going to be his last G1. He's probably got a couple more in him. So, again, it's just a case of him having good matches along the way. Like all the names we've said, Omega, Okada, Suzuki, Elgin as well would be a good one, I imagine. So, yeah, that's pretty much his role here, really, isn't it?
The thing is, Kojima's been around a lot longer than Nagata has. about three years. And, like, Kojima had, like, Full Tilt ace runs in New Japan and All Japan, and then another ace run in New Japan as well. So he's, like, he's had a much harder career in a couple of senses because he had to, like, make himself over twice. So, yeah, it's interesting. Kojima's just an interesting cat. I just love the guy. Just really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Just, he's so cool.
Can't hate a guy who loves bread that much, can you, really?
No, you can't.
I know. No. And I've also got to say, he was one of my sort of standouts of the G1 last year, even though he wasn't in it, just playing that sort of manager cheerleader role for Tenzan.
Yeah.
Like, he was just fantastic just in the background. And so, I don't know, it'd be interesting if Tenzan did a similar thing for him this year and sort of accompanied him for all his matches.
And
did that similar sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's sort of playing the story of trying to doing the big redemption for his partner who sort of flubbed last year.
Yeah, definitely. Be interested to see what happens there. Then we get to the business end of things. The Rainmaker IWGP Heavyweight Champion Kazuchika Okada is going to win this tournament. That's my call. This is it. This is the one. I said it last year, but he's unbeatable this year, and I think he's going to win it. I don't sure if he's going to sweep it, but that's my prediction because everyone predicting Naito or Omega, so I'm going with Okada.
I mean, it's not a very good shout to make.
No, this is it. The story of Okada's year is he's clinging on to the championship and he's having better and better matches each time. So if you're telling that story, I can't see him losing the G1. That's my logic behind it. I can definitely see the logic. I can see him getting flubbed out of the final like he did last year because he didn't lose anything because he still had the best performances and every match he had was 4 stars or greater. But he didn't. He lost out on not a technicality, but because they went to the time limit draw, it hurt both him and Tanahashi. He hasn't got the Tanahashi issue this year. He's got the Omega issue. But that's what I want to say.
And you could definitely see them doing a 30-minute draw with those two. I mean, they've just done a 60-minute draw. So
they're walking the park compared to what they just did at Dominion. So yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, it's worth saying they're the last night. It's, I mean, both their matches have been 45 minutes or longer, so it's hard to see how does that end in half an hour, 30-minute time limits on these. So,
and that's a written story for in itself. That's Okada trying to get the Rainmaker on in the first 10 minutes. Time and time again, and all he's going to do is go to the Rainmaker, power driver Rainmaker. That's the story, and it's just written itself because of everything they've done before.
Yeah, and obviously can Omega get the win over him finally and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah,
like, that's obviously the match of the of the tournament for many reasons.
Because we
that match, there's also an interesting thing I've seen batted around where what if we have a situation where it's sort of Omega, Okada and like Suzuki are all sort of tied towards the top, but Suzuki has a win over Omega at some point, and the only way that Omega can get to the finals is by, or it was something like Suzuki has a win over Okada or something like that, and the only way that Omega can actually get to the finals is lose to Okada or take the draw and then hope that someone else beats someone else, but he can't sort of get past his pride and he beats Okada in the finals and sort of screws himself out of the final match.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm completely just butchering all the details of that. It's a really interesting scenario I've seen it batted around online that it'd be really interesting to see that happen.
This is going to be interesting. It really, really is. But I just see Okada winning it this year. This is my call. And I'd absolutely love it if he won it as well because I'm a big Okada fan. I'm a big Chaos fan. But yeah, that's it.
So should we explain what would happen if the champion actually wins?
Please do.
So isn't it that rather than obviously going on to challenge himself for the title of Wrestle Kingdom, he gets to pick his
opponent. he'd still have a 5-star match if it was
he'd manage it. But yeah, isn't it that he picks his opponent for Wrestle Kingdom instead?
So there's the story.
He'd then pick Omega, surely.
Yeah,
well that was
to prove the point.
So I was until I saw that Okada and Omega were in the same block, I was kind of leaning towards that being what was going to happen, that Okada would win. Because I agree with you, like, there's the story there that he's the ace now, he's the best in the world, he's not lost in about a year in singles. He's having this great title run. So my thinking was he was going to win it and then challenge Omega at Wrestle Kingdom and they would do it that way. But the fact they've put them in the same block kind of muddies that now, I think, and implies that they're going to go a different way. Because, yeah, before the brackets were announced, that Okada was my pick, actually, as well.
So we'll see. Have we explored this enough with Okada, do you think?
We should say, as well, like, as far as I know, he hasn't lost in singles this year since Ishii in the G1 last year. Yeah, that was the last time he was pinned in a singles match.
I hadn't realised that until you said that, and now that's really got me thinking. Maybe I'm going more towards James's side of things, where if he hasn't lost in that long, are they really going to give away a loss in a random tournament match?
But, I mean, the other thing is, whoever does beat him, if someone beats him, that is massive. Whoever gets that win.
Look at who he's got first night. It's Toriano.
Can you imagine if Yano rolled him up in 2 minutes and that was just, that would
bell
like
rings,
just be...
Bell rings, low blow, roll up, it's done in 10 seconds.
The greatest run in pro wrestling history ended by Toru Yano on a roll up. Like,
and he spends the next year, and Yano spends the next year apologising to him for it.
Yeah. Yano is never seen again. But yeah, so there's definitely a lot of interesting stories they can tell throughout the tournament with Okada. He's definitely one of the three favourites, I think, alongside Omega and Naito. Anyway, I think I'm still leaning towards it being Naito and probably a Naito Omega final, if I'm being honest. But the Okada scenario is also a very interesting one. And like we've said, it's hard to see who he's going to actually lose to mean that he doesn't win the block.
Have you any other thoughts on this, Mr. Edwards?
I was going to say, so what would happen if Omega and Okada won all their matches? They both went on complete win streaks right up until the end, and then it ends in a draw in that last match. Does it go to like some sort of sudden death or something?
Well,
they'd
both end up in semifinals and they swap over, don't they? Seed 1 from A wrestles seed 2 B 2 from B.
No, it just goes straight to the final. It does normally, but
I mean, so if that happened and then they both went to the semi-finals and
so normally the way it is it's just whoever wins, the two winners of the block then face each other in the final, but maybe they would have to bring in a semi-final scenario if that happened, because I think again that is a really interesting scenario that could happen.
Because are they doing semi-finals this year? Because they did semi-finals last year.
No, they didn't. It just came down to the scenario, which tends to be how they book it, is they have the two biggest matches on the last night and it tends to come down to them.
Okay.
I see what I mean. Tanahashi and Okada last year.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You're talking about the group stages.
Just happened to face each other on the last night, and the idea was that whoever won that match would go through, and then of course they had the draw. So yeah. Neither of them went through. I do like the scenario as well of them, Omega and Okada both going unbeaten, and then it coming down to
one match.
Which would be, that would be the way to have Omega pick up the win finally as well. There's a lot of interesting scenarios they could do. You know, we're saying the other block's stacked, but there's potentially even more interesting things they can do with this block.
The other ones, the block A is the big names, big matches. Block B is the stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. Right then, move on to another contender, Kenny Omega. Current reigning G1 Climax champion.
He's meant to be all right, I think.
I understand, yes. He's quite good. It came up from DDT. Anyway, Kenny Omega. current reigning G1 Climax champion. There is an obvious story of Omega wins and goes back to Wrestle Kingdom. But we're erring against that at the minute from this conversation with you gentlemen. So how is the leader of Bullet Club going to do, Alex Edwards?
I mean, I think we talked about it briefly just then with Okada, where I think it would be interesting to have him just win everything and go to the finals. And I could definitely see that being a possibility. I think I'm with Alex that I think the finals are going to be Omega and Naito, and I think that he will take this block. The interesting thing with Omega now, though, is he's now the US champion, and so any losses surely mean future title matches, but I'm not quite... So are we completely sure how the US title is going to work?
Nope.
Is it going to be defended in Japan at all, or is it only defended in America? Or
The implication is that it's only going to be defended in America, whether that changes and they rethink that, but that's the understanding at the moment anyway.
So, yeah, so it's an interesting situation if he did pick up some losses here to set up future title contenders, and then... Would they have? They'd have to then do that. Those matches in Ring of Honor, I guess, rather than on New Japan shows or something like that.
Well,
but,
I mean, yeah, I mean, because Elgin spends a fair bit of time in Ring of Honor on loan, doesn't he? When he gets a chance, so does Tama Tonga.
You've got Juice Robinson there as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. So there is strong possibilities. In fact, Juice is probably the most likely, I would think.
Yeah, I'd say Juice is the most likely to get
because you've already
a shot like that.
You've already seen
no.
Omega Elgin, so yeah.
Yeah, but I think. Unless they do something like that, where he gets a couple of losses to set up future title matches, the way I would do it is, as we said before, have him and Okada go unbeaten, and it all comes down to that last day. I think that's the big story you could tell.
Mr. Watt, what are your thoughts on Kenny Omega's chances this year?
Yes, well, he's one of the favourites, as we've said. I think there's a couple of interesting ways they could go with it, as we've sort of touched on here with, does he lose a couple to set up those US title matches? Does he go unbeaten along with Okada? Either way, it's going to come down to him and Okada on the last night. I think that's fairly clear that that's what they're going to try and do. They're teasing maybe him and Ibushi in the final. I think it will be Omega Naito in the final. They had, in my opinion, the best match last year at the G1, which was essentially... the semi-final. It was the last night of the block. So I think if they're not going to give us Ibushi and Omega, then Naito and Omega is a pretty damn good substitute, and they will undoubtedly knock it out of the park again. So yeah, I mean, in terms of the story, he's gonna get to the final, I think, either way. As much as I like the idea of Okada going through and winning the whole thing, I think probably Omega, he needs to get that win, doesn't he? Like, there's just so many ways they could do that final match that I think is going to be interesting. Yeah.
Fair enough then.
But yeah, basically he's going to have a lot of bloody great matches is what's going to happen, is the main thing anyway.
Okay, then, well, we move on, because the next person on the list is Juice Robinson, a man who can produce a great match himself and has done several times this year. I think likely to be a surprise, though. It is his first G1, and because you've got a lot of stars in this group as well, someone's got to lose, and I'm not sure that Juice is going to hang it together for all of them, but I think he'd probably get a win over somebody like Suzuki for a future championship shot, certainly. I think Juice is going to do okay. Alex Watt, what did you think?
Yes, I think, again... first G1, he's definitely earned his way in. He's had some really good matches in the last few months, especially the one with Naito, which was brilliant. So yeah, it's going to be a case of, again, we're saying it with everyone, though, that they're going to end up mid-table, but that's sort of how you would imagine it going.
Lower end of mid-table, I think, for Juice.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's going to, again, be a case of, and possibly he'll come out, win his first few, and then tail off. That does seem to be a story they like telling with the guys who are in their first G1, where they come hot out of the blocks, and then start to the sort of rough schedule gets on top of them, basically. depending on, we've basically said Omega could go and beat him for the whole thing or not. I think if he doesn't, then Juice is a very good chance of beating him. I think that's a good win to give Juice. I'd expect him to maybe get a couple of them, maybe beat Elgin as well, and those kind of stuff. So he's got the big wins, but probably won't be beating the likes of Okada or Suzuki, you know. I think he'll have a decent G1, basically.
Alex Edwards, what about Juice?
Pretty much the same. I think he's him and maybe Tamatonga, Toriano, those sorts of names are probably going to be who take up the bottom of the table. I think he will have some really good matches, especially Okada and Juice is a match I'm really interested to see. I think they could do some really good stuff, but he's going to be taking a lot of losses. I think maybe he gets a win over like Tamatonga, Kojima, those sorts of names. And as Alex said, if Omega's going to take a loss, I think Juice is a good name to take that. But yeah, I think he'll maybe get 2-3 wins and end up somewhere near the bottom. I'm just looking at the last day, he's got Michael Elgin. So maybe that'll be the thing of he gets a big win over a big guy at the end to redeem it or something like that. But the story they're going to tell is he's the new guy. It's his first time in there. And as you said, he's going to sort of peter out as the tournament goes on and just pick up a lot of losses as he goes. He'll have some really good matches, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. And speaking of a guy who has good matches, actually, that's the guy I linked the last one to. But yeah, Sanada. I want to see him wrestle everyone. Not just in New Japan, in the world. I'd watch Sanada wrestle a broomstick. He's awesome. And, you know, you consider the fact 2 years ago we were talking about him being in a very different faction in Impact Wrestling, going absolutely nowhere. And then, you know, he's turned his career around literally in the blink of an eye, just like that. And he is a vital player, even though he's not the leader of LIJ. He's not even the first and second in command of LIJ. He's just a guy in LIJ. But the difference between being just a guy in LIJ and being just a guy in Revolution is the difference between chalk and cheese. So Sanada's going to have a cracking tournament. I'm really looking forward to him and Minoru Suzuki, him and Omega, Okada, Kojima even, because I think that would be something very different and that I haven't seen before. I'm really looking forward to that. So, yep, Sanada's going to do well. He isn't going to win a lot of matches, though, because, like we said, we've got so many big stories to say. Solid mid-card performer, I would think, in this particular point. Alex Edwards, your thoughts?
It's become a cliche at this point that every time we talk about Sanada, I just have to say, I cannot believe it's the same Seiya Sanada that was in TNA. He's so different now, and he's so much better now. Like you said, I'm really looking forward to a lot of the matches that he's going to be having in this tournament. I mean, I'm just looking down the list now, and it's like, Elgin, that'll be a good match. Evil, that's a really interesting match. Kojima, good match. Okada, great match. Omega, great match. Juice, great match. Suzuki, great match. Tamatonga, could be okay. Toriano, there'll probably be some funny hijinks. So he's going to have a really good tournament, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. You said, like, you think he'll end up near sort of the middle or the bottom of the table, but looking at it, there's quite a few names that I could see him getting wins over feasibly. So, like, Evil and Sanada is a complete toss-up for sort of who you think could win there. And there'll probably be some sort of, I don't know, Bushi and Hiromu get involved somehow, I don't know. But like Elgin, I could see him beating. Kojima, I can see him beating. Juice, Tamatonga, Toriano, I can see him beating quite a few of the guys in this table. And so maybe he'll be... Like we said about Zack Sabre Jr. in the other one, where he'll be around the middle, but the top end of the middle, I think he'll be one of those guys.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mr. Watt, what do you think, sir?
Yes, I think he's a bit of a dark horse for the tournament. He beat Tanahashi on the first night last year. I could see him, you know, getting a couple of wins over the bigger names. Someone like Suzuki definitely would be a good one. You could see him getting a win over. I think he'll pick up quite a lot of wins in this one. I think it's, you know, last year was almost like he's coming out Party, where he got the chance to just wrestle loads of different guys and show off what he could do. And he had a solid performance last year. I think he ended up around middle of the block, so I think he goes a little bit better this year. I agree with Alex on that one. Yeah, and I think, yeah, again, just some of the matches that he's gonna have just look delicious.
Like, you mentioned that Suzuki one just there, and the more I think about it, the more I think that could be really, really good. Like, I don't know, it's just, I could see a really good technical match there. I think it'd be really interesting.
It's interesting because we're moving on to Minoru Suzuki now, so we'll have a chat about him. But like, I'm just looking at ages, and we talk about Satoshi Kojima. Well, you know, he's getting to the end of his career, but he's probably got another couple of G1s in him, and he's 46 years old. And Yuji Nagata was saying, yeah, it's his last G1, and it's sad, but it's great to see him going out, and he's likely to go out on a high. None of us are talking about Minoru Suzuki retiring, and he's only 2 months younger than Nagata.
There you go. You know, yeah, he's still got plenty left in the tank, I think.
Yeah. He doesn't show it at all.
No, he isn't. He's 49 years old last month, and he's just a machine of pro wrestling, but he's a guy who doesn't take risks. He's a guy that is all character-led and has used his career wisely and used his body wisely over the last 20 years. Well, no, let's be honest, last 30 years to produce some of the best wrestling matches. Bear in mind, in 2014, he had the Wrestling Observer Match of the Year with AJ Styles.
Yes, in the G1,
In the
G1.
You know, he is an absolute machine. And we're talking about him as a possible winner of this group. I don't think it's likely with Okada and Omega there, but there's nothing stopping him from winning this group. He doesn't have to win the final. And things have been a little bit dry in Suzuki-Gun this year, apart from the never openweight win. You know, he's a guy who we're really looking to be a main event player, and this would kind of boost him back up to that main event status very quickly if he got to the semi-finals or the final of this tournament.
Go
on, Alex. What are you going to say?
He's definitely an outside bet, I think, to win the whole thing. You know, potentially if he's... I think he'll be in contention for the whole thing. He'll be near the top, and then you've got that story there, like they did last year, for Omega and Okada draw on the last night. Maybe Suzuki sneaks through like that, like Goto did last year, when Okada and Tanahashi got the draw. So, you know, that story I could see them telling. Again, there's a lot of really good matches that he's going to have in this tournament. Like you mentioned with the AJ Styles one a couple of years ago, that almost sums up what the G1 is. Like, two guys who you wouldn't expect their styles to mesh, and then they ended up having the match of the year. And that will probably Suzuki will probably have a couple of those throughout this tournament as well.
Yeah.
Against, like Alex said, someone like Sanada, where maybe on paper it doesn't look like they match up that well, but I kind of think they will have a really tremendous match. Him and Omega, you know, Omega's already been having digs at the Never Openweight title since winning the US title, so there's a little mini story there. They're wrestling on the first night of the block. And yeah, Suzuki and Okada rematch will be violent, I imagine.
He reminds me of there's a film called Heartbreak Ridge, and there's a Clint Eastwood character in it called Thomas Highway, who's a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps, and someone describes him as low speed, no drag, and that's Minoru Suzuki. He's one of the smartest wrestlers in the world, purely because he gets so much done with as minimal effort. And you know, he's one of the safest guys as well, because he's done himself so many injuries down the years. He knows exactly what his body can do and what other people's bodies can do as well. He's brilliant. Alex Edwards, what do you think of Mr. Suzuki's chances?
I think his chances are pretty good. I think, like Alex was saying, there's a chance that he could sneak his way in there, depending on what happens with Okada and Omega. I think he'll definitely come second or third in the block. I think he'll be one of those names we're really looking out as a potential winner of the whole thing. And he's going to have some really good matches. You mentioned the Suzuki Styles match. I think him and Omega could have a very similar matchup.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I'm really looking forward to seeing that. Yeah, I think he's a guy where if now I've got it in my head that we're going to do the Okada and Omega undefeated streak storyline. I think maybe Suzuki, I'm trying to see when he's facing someone like a Juice Robinson or a Michael Elgin. I think maybe one of those guys could be his only loss. And so he loses out to Okada and Omega by 2 points because he took this one loss to someone to have a title match along the way.
Yeah. And then just proceeds to make that person's life a living misery for the next 6 months.
Yeah. God help whoever does beat Suzuki. I was going to say, if they don't go the fully undefeated way with Okada and Omega, the guy to pin Okada, Suzuki's probably the guy you would imagine would do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely... That's a good shout, actually. That's a good one, actually, yeah. And it could set up another, like a rematch from earlier this year, later this year, because that, as you said, was a really good match that I'd like to see again.
Yeah, they need, we discussed, they need something for King of Pro Wrestling. That would be a pretty good main event for them to go with before Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, because remember, King of Pro Wrestling is 3 dates, isn't it? So they need 3 main events, really. So they've got to get a lot out of this tournament, so...
Yeah, there will. Okada's going to have to defend the belt against someone at that show, and Suzuki is a very good shout, I would say.
I mean, the guy. Yeah, looking at the block, when you think of who could Okada lose to, the two names in there are Omega and Suzuki.
Yeah. So. Okay, then. We move on to Tama Tonga, who had a bit of a breakout tournament last year. Everyone went, wow, well, you got really good. And he's steadily improved through the year, though he's been in tag action for most of the year with his brother in the Gorillas of Destiny, current IWGP tag team, no longer IWGP tag team champions, but, you know, 3 times winners in the last 12 months. Tama Tonga has been an excellent wrestler. I think he's going to do some great matches, but someone has to finish near the bottom of this group, and unfortunately, he's probably the man most likely, though I want to see him and Suzuki, because that's going to be interesting, and I want to see him in Okada and see how he stacks up there. Alex Edwards, your thoughts on our Polynesian friend?
I am just so glad that it's Tama Tonga and not Tangaroa that's in this G1.
Tangaroa eating things.
I think, like you said, he's going to be the guy at the bottom. He's going to lose a lot. But they've always got that excuse of, oh, well, he's a tag team wrestler, so he's not used to singles competition, and that can be his out. And so it still keeps him a bit sort of legitimate. And yeah, like you said, there's some really weird matches there, like Suzuki, Okada, Omega. There's some weird matches that could actually be really good. And I'm hoping this is a year like last year, even more so than last year, where he really shows off what he can do and he impresses people and he puts on some really good performances and hopefully sort of elevates himself above where he is now.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. No matter what performances he has, he's losing all those matches and he's coming at the top.
Alex, what are your thoughts on Tama Tonga?
Yeah, pretty much that. I mean, he keeps improving and improving. So I think hopefully this is another tournament where he shows off even more improvement and hopefully has a lot of good matches with good guys where he loses all those matches, as we've said. But maybe he'll get a big win. He did beat Tanahashi last year, which was a big shock, you know, as they want to do in the G1, throw those in. So, you know, he'll probably get a win over one of the big-ish names, maybe an Elgin or someone like that. You could see him picking up a win over. But, yeah, he's sadly going to finish near the bottom of the block because someone has to. And his future does, for now, lie in tag team. So, and that's probably what he's going to be doing at Wrestle Kingdom, is challenging or defending the IWGP tag belt. So, yeah, and like Alex said, that's his out, ultimately, is that he's a so-called tag team wrestler. So that's what they can use to excuse his losses, basically.
Okay, then, we move on to the last entrant in the G1 climax. And, of course, we've saved the best to last.
The winner.
Toru Yano. Me and Alex have been pressurizing for a win for Torriano in the G1 Climax for about 2 years now. Who said the same thing about Yoshihashi, another Chaos member. But, you know, Yano is Torriano. He's absolutely brilliant. I love the guy. He's going to win at least half his matches. I'd like him to win the whole thing. I don't care. But he's going to win at least half his matches. He's going to score a lot of points.
Nine roll-ups.
Full shot roll-up. He wins everything.
Yeah. Or how many variations on a handful of hair can you see in one match? You're just going to see the whole nine yards of comedy wrestling. The guy only has five moves, but they're five brilliant moves.
Yeah, he strings them together bloody wonderfully.
I don't know if he'll get away with athletic taping like he did last year. He athletic taped Yuji Nagata to a ring post to take a wing count out victory. I don't know if he'll get away with that.
One of the most creative ways to finish a match, by the way. I love that so much.
Right, so my favourite Torriano match was him and Iizuki were challenging the Gracie cousins about 3 years ago. It was just a regular tag match because they were champions, and the Gracie brothers were god awful in the ring. They were bloody terrible.
that whole period was just terrible.
Yeah, and so they handcuffed one of them to the rail so they could beat up the other guy just to make the match look good. To make it actually bearable, and they managed to win the match in like 15 minutes of like them trying to drag a decent match out of two guys who can't wrestle at all. And it was just like, oh, but there you go. Anyway, so yeah, that's Torriano. Alex Edwards, your thoughts?
He's going to hit a lot of people in the balls. He's going to pull a lot of hair, and he's going to roll a lot of people up and get some shock wins. And it's going to be hilarious. Yeah, I think when you look at it, it's guys like Okada is going to be a really interesting, weird match. Suzuki,
was
though.
Last year.
Minoru Suzuki and Torriano is the match I want to see.
Yeah.
Just... especially if Suzuki brings out the whole of Suzuki-gun with him, you have like Taichi and Taka and all those guys around, just like the craziness that could ensue in that match.
You remember what happened last time these two wrestled? Like, exactly that happened. The Suzuki-gun guys came down, then Ishii came out and just beat them all up.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that again. Yeah, so it's Chaos versus Suzuki-gun. And for those of you who don't know, Torriano had a 2-year feud with Minoru Suzuki where he actually followed him to a different wrestling company just to go feud with him again. So, yeah, it's a classic. It's a classic lineup of the serious wrestler dude versus the comedy guy. It's Cat Weasel versus Mick McManus. It's brilliant, and I just love it.
This is also one where I can excuse Silly Pants Kenny Omega and I can have fun with it against Yano. Because it just works.
Alex, what are your thoughts on Torriano's chances?
Yeah, also, Yano does tend to have a couple of good matches with the right guys. Like, again, AJ Styles a couple of years ago, they had a really good match. So there's a couple of guys in here who might, you know, do something a bit more than comedy with.
Sonata, I imagine.
Sonata.
Although, maybe. there's a lot of comedy that can be had there with Sonata just deadpanning everything he does.
That is true as well, yeah. Yeah.
Evil as well.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, yeah,
him and Evil will be pure comedy, I think. but yes, bringing the average match time down quite a lot will Torriano be. When we're always talking about how the matches are just getting longer and longer. These matches will probably not be that long. But basically, Yano's role in these, besides the comedy thing, is to be the spoiler. So, he beat Shibata last year when Shibata was on this amazing run, and then he, like, rolled him up, and Shibata looked like he was going to kill the entire audience and everyone who got in his way. Guess who Yano is facing on the last night of the tournament?
Who's that?
It's Minoru Suzuki, who we've already
mentioned.
There you go.
So if they're not going to go with... we've obviously mentioned that maybe Suzuki could sneak in on the technicality. I think Yano will roll him up on the last night.
And he'll be the one to spoil it all for him.
Yeah, because that is just there. That story is just right there. If Suzuki's leading the block as well, going into the last night, and Yano rolls him up in 2 minutes, like, you can just... see it coming.
Suzuki goes on a rampage and destroys just all the young boys. Everyone around ringside just gets destroyed by Suzuki going on a rampage because he's so angry. It's going to be amazing.
And then Ishii comes out to protect Yano.
There's another way you could potentially set that match up. So yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. So those are all.
There is a lot of interesting scenarios that could come up here.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Yano is he's basically a night off for whoever's facing him.
Yeah, and yeah.
That's really needed in a tournament like this, where it is such a long tournament with so many big matches. You need a guy who you can just have an easy, fun match with and not take too many big bumps. And that's why he's there.
Yeah, yeah. It lightens the relief as well, because there's some serious stuff goes on. Unless you have some light relief, it doesn't have... You can't have, like, a five-star classics all the time on every night. You can, but...
I mean, they pretty much do, but you've got
to... Yeah, you need something to make it...
A few fillers,
To bring people down. Otherwise, it's like you listen to Metallica, and Metallica don't go full bore all the time, because if you don't have the light stuff, you don't appreciate the heavy stuff. And that's what Toru Yano is. He's the quiet bit in Nothing Else Matters.
Are you saying that he's the pretty bit in Master of Puppets?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, he's the classical guitar bit in Master of Puppets. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
I bet no one ever thought that would happen. Toru Yano getting compared to Metallica.
There you go. It's the kind of it's the kind of boundary we'd like to push on the Troopany Show. That's stunned everyone into silence. We'll move on.
I mean, there's no topping that, basically.
Yeah, there you go. Right then, the matches will have actually started by the time you hear this. This is going out on Monday morning on the 17th of July, and the first matches start on the 17th of July. Now, obviously, Japan are ahead of us. They start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so we're actually going to be on around about the same time. We're probably suggesting that you'll be actually at work when you're listening to this on your way to work, so you might want to watch those matches in the evening. The first night does feature Tetsuya Naito and Kota Ibushi, as we said, as the main event, but there's some really interesting standout ones as we go through this tournament. We're going to have a quick flash through these now. Which ones are standing out for you in that first week, Alex Watt?
First week, you got Tanahashi, Zack Sabre Jr., which we've touched upon, Ibushi and Naito, Suzuki and Omega. There's Okada and Yano as well, of course, where Yano's going to end the streak. what else have we got? Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. is in the first week as well. Like, it's just, this is what happens. It's just absolutely mental. they just come flying at you. Okada and Elgin's in the first week. There's a lot of good stuff, basically. They're going to come thick and fast. Ibushi and Ishii, I think, is in the first week as well.
Yeah, that's the last one. That's one of the last ones we'll review before the next show. You've also got like big heavy hitter matches like Maccabi and Goto. You've got Sanada and Suzuki in that first week too.
Goto and Ishii is the first match of the tournament.
Yeah, so you've got some really interesting stuff in this first half of the show. If you're looking to watch the shows, by the way, you can go to New Japan World and sign up there. It is pretty cheap, really, in comparison to other streaming websites with the amount of content you get. You get the entire New Japan back catalogue that they've actually managed to get up on there. And if you listen to our Beginner's Guide series, that's where we get most of the matches we review for the New Japan shows we talk about on there. And I think it's about £7 a month. That's what I'm paying on mine, anyway. For New Japan World.
Depends on the fluctuation of the pound, basically, yeah. as to how much it is. Anything from £5 to £7, I think.
Yeah, so you can get access to this, and it's so good. It's really, really good stuff. And it is, like we said, I'm not gilding the lily by any imagination when I say it's the biggest wrestling tournament and the most important wrestling tournament in the world. It is. Because it doesn't get any better than this. This tournament has made names. Masahiro Chono made his career in this tournament. As we said earlier, Yuji Nagata won this tournament in 2001. Kojima's won this tournament. Tenzan's won this tournament. This tournament is the lifeblood of New Japan Pro Wrestling and has been since the early 90s. If you want to learn more about the history of this tournament and the tournaments that came before it, if you look back in the Troopany Show archives on SoundCloud, you'll be able to find the show that me and Alex Watt did, I think it was 2 years ago, where we discussed the history of the G1 Climax tournament. And
crikey.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
So long ago.
We were so young back then. We talked about the history of the MSG tournament and the world tournament that happened in New Japan from the early 1970s. And we talked about how, like, back in the day, there was one group for Gaijin and one group for Japanese talent. That was hilarious. So there's all sorts of the history of this tournament is big and long because it's been around for nearly 50 years now. So, Alex Edwards, has there got any last thoughts as we start the G1 and anything you'd like to say?
I am just really looking forward to everything that's going to happen over the next, what, 3-4 weeks. It's like you said, it's the best time of the year for wrestling. You see the best matches of the year. And it's crazy to think that you think back to January and we've already seen, especially from New Japan, a 6-star match, a 6.5-star match, and countless 5-star and 4-star matches. And now we're at the G1. The G1 hasn't even started yet. And this is usually where you get sort of 5 or 6 match of the year contenders in this tournament. So it's been a crazy year for wrestling overall. And this tournament, I'm guessing, is going to follow that trend. And we're just going to, especially with how many big names are in here, it's just going to be an amazing month and some amazing matches to see. I'm really looking forward to it. And like you said, everyone needs to go sign up and make sure they're watching this because you're not going to see better wrestling anywhere else in the world this summer.
Okay. Alex, what have you got any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, pretty much exactly that. I mean, it's always, yeah, we say it's the most magical time of the year. It's like wrestling Christmas, and we're in possibly one of the greatest years for New Japan ever, like the output they've had already. And now they're going into the tournament where, as Alex said, usually you have about 5 or 6 match of the year contenders. So with the bar they've set already, we're in for possibly something insane. Like, this could be the greatest G1 ever. Like, it genuinely could. And like, just look at how long we've just talked previewing the thing. Like, a match hasn't happened yet, and we've spent like 1.5 hours just talking about all the stuff that could happen. So yeah, I do think this could be the best G1 ever. So what? Why would you not watch it's it? Just, basically,
it's just look at the blocks. Usually, you'll have some names in there. Like, you go back, you have like a Doc Gallows or someone like that who you think, oh well, they're not going to have good matches. They're just there as a filler. This year, there's no filler. Everyone is really good and has their place and is going to put on really good matches. There's no filler in this tournament at all.
No, this could be the greatest heavyweight tournament of all time. And we're not like, we're not trying to like big it up or anything. This is, you know, and this is the year where tournaments have really shone in wrestling. We had a great J Cup. We had a great Best of Super Juniors. We've had the announcement for Bowler this year with some incredible names in that. We've got King of Trios coming up in September in Birmingham that's got a list of tag teams on it that's just ridiculous. Sendai Girls defending their championship. CCK? Wow. it's just going to be like, this summer is going to be the...
You've got WWE's women's tournament as well. Yeah,
you have.
The Mae Young Classic.
So this is wrestling at its very best at the moment anywhere in the world, all over the world, in every company. Everyone's trying so hard. Me and Alex talked about the wrestling war with New Japan going to the United States of America, and this is where New Japan really want to cement all that new following they've got from going to America and make it a worldwide product. This is really important to their business and really important to their growth plan for the next 5 years. This is Access TV for the next 3 months. You know, this important. This tournament is so important to New Japan, but it's important to Pro Wrestling and it's important to Japanese wrestling as a whole, because when the big companies do well, everyone does well. So All Japan will be looking forward to it, because when the Carnival Championship runs up for them, they're going to get a residual watching. You know, people are going to go, that the G1 was great, we should watch the Championship Carnival. No, we're going to say the same thing about the Global London League. So, you know, this is really important to Puro Wrestle and the business in general, because if New Japan can crack it this time, and they've been getting better every year for a long time, this could be getting Japanese wrestling back to the glory days for everyone, which is what we'd like to see, because we want to see the business grow everywhere.
That's something that I hadn't actually thought about just quickly, is that this is going to be the first G1 for a lot of people who have come in off those American shows and off the sort of the Western push from earlier this year.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see the sort of reception from all the new fans watching this for the first time.
Yeah, definitely. And you can see it as well when you're out on social media, the amount of people are talking about New Japan now. And how, like, the big press companies like WrestleZone and not companies like Voices of Wrestling. Voices of Wrestling are cool and all, but they tend to deal with this stuff all the time. But, like, there's a lot of the bigger media companies.
Like Pro Wrestling Sheet, WrestleZone, PW Insider, those sorts of names.
The more mainstream news sheets, they don't tend to cover this as much because it's just not their bag. But now they are because this is important. So, right then. We're going to have to close it there, our discussion today, previewing the G1 Climax Tournament for number 27 for 2017. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Alex Watt. You can find him on AlexWatt187 on Twitter. Thank you, sir, for your time today.
Thank you. Get hyped, basically, everyone.
We're all very excited.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank Mr. Alex Edwards. You can find him Alex_Edwards_ on Twitter. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's going to be interesting to see how long this hype stays up until we're just like dead tired because we've watched so much wrestling, so much all the time, forever.
It's going to be a busy few weeks. It's going to be a very busy few weeks.
That's the reason why we have 10 people on this show for the next month. We don't know who's going to be on show to show, by the way, because we're looking at availability, but we will try and pull some surprises and see what else we can bring into the show as well. But thank you very much for listening today. Next week's show, we'll be reviewing the first set of shows in the first week. We hope you enjoy watching it. And if not, if you're not watching it, if you're just listening to this to come in and for results and discussion, that's cool too. But we hope we have done it justice and given you a full preview of the G1 Climax Tournament. We'll say goodbye for now. Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye.